May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 1037. Days of darkness and distress are my portion here below. Thorny is the wilderness, and the Lord will have it so. Hymn 1037.
Thank you. Our reading from God's word this evening is taken from Psalm 22. The 22nd Psalm. In this psalm we have a veil drawn on the inward conflicts of the Saviour as he hung upon that cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness and to a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. O Lord, teach us how to pray aright. Help us to venture near thy throne in humble faith, with reverence and respect, but with a humble expectation that thou wilt hear and answer our needs. We thank thee, Lord, for the precious word of God we have just read. Do bless it unto us. Make it profitable unto our souls. Let it be thy word unto us. And do nourish our souls through thy word this night. And may we go out with stronger faith than when we came in. Let fall this evening some handfuls of purpose for us to glean and to take home with us and beat it out. May thy word not be left behind in the chapel, may it not be forgotten. May it have a gracious influence in our lives this week and in the weeks to come. We ask, gracious God, that thou wouldst come down this evening hour on this assembly of thy saints, that thou wouldst reveal thyself unto us in the written word and page of Scripture, that there may be some heart warming this evening, that we may hear thy voice speaking to us. Make us listen and understand. May thy words be blessed unto us. Do shine as that light out of darkness. And come down this night, grant liberty to those who are in Satan's chains, whether it be the chains of unbelief and sin and deadness of heart, and that ignorance and not even realizing that they are chained, or whether it be, Lord, the chains of Satan's harassments and tempting of the living. Break those chains this night, we beg. Give light to those who feel to be in darkness. Give conviction to the careless. Soften the heart of the hard-hearted. Grant pardon and forgiveness and liberty to those who are seeking for it and longing to find it. Grant thy blessing upon those who may even now be at the feet of thy cross by faith, Lord, may they be enabled by faith to abide there and be kept there. And Lord, if there are any of us who are on the very brink of eternity and know it not, may thy word this evening be a preparation for that hour and for that moment. In that dread moment, may we hide beneath Christ's sheltering blood, while Jordan's icy waves divide, and land our souls with God. Bless this house of prayer. Follow with thy blessing the labours of the Sabbath school this afternoon. May the seed sown there bring forth 100% harvest in time to come. And do encourage those who taught them and enable them to press on. And may they know that their labour is not in vain in the Lord. Bless the deacons of this cause and help them in the office that thou hast called them to, whether it be in the choosing of the hymns or in the practical responsibilities of this cause. Grant them wisdom and grace and discernment. Bless each member of this church, individually and as a church corporately. Feed them, water them, protect them, bless them. Shine upon them. May a mantle of thy forgiving love be over them, and do prosper their way. Bless the ministry of thy word in this pulpit. Crown thy gospel with success in the hearts of all who hear it. Bless each member of this congregation here this evening and those absent, and bless those who have come in this night from other causes of truth. Be with each in their various pathways in the journey of life. Supply every burden, relieve every care, overrule and undertake in each event. Lead each soul into a saving knowledge of Christ. And do add unto this church those whom thou hast saved by grace and taught of thy love. Do add unto this congregation those whom it is thy sovereign will to save and to feed and to make useful here. And grant that there may be prosperity in that building up. We thank thee, Lord, what thou hast done. How thou hast built up this people from literally nothing. But Lord, we believe that yet there is room. Gather in thy dead elect, we pray. And may it yet be proved that thou hast much people in this area of a purpose of mercy toward. Grant thy guidance in each pathway of life. Help us, Lord, to look unto thee and to seek thy face. And when we have thy mind to do it straight away, make us, Lord, obedient children. And help us each through the days of this coming week, and in mercy and in compassion, supply our needs as they will arise hour by hour. Guide and keep us in thy fear and by thy grace. And remember us for good with thy eternal favour. Bless, we pray, thy church as it meets for worship this evening, throughout the whole world, and bless thy servants as they proclaim thy name, and help them to preach, and help others who hear. And may, Lord, there be much good done this night in the city of Zion. Bless, we pray, this nation, and at this time of national and international crisis, may thy voice be heard. May true repentance be given. But Lord, we pray that thou wouldst protect thy people at this time, and grant thy delivering hand and thy sparing hand upon the nations of the world. But could it please thee to sanctify it to thy people, to thy church, but also to sanctify it in the nations of this world. May it be used to call the nations back to thee. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst have mercy. We ask now, as we come to thy word, that thou wouldst come and meet with us. Let this a gate of heaven be. And Lord, stand at the top of that ladder and speak to us. And may, like Jacob, we be under the realization that this is the very house of God. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 125. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. Hymn 125.
seeking the Lord's help. We turn this evening hour again to the word we were considering this morning, which you will find in the Gospel recorded by Matthew, chapter 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. There is nothing more profitable than to watch a suffering Saviour. There is nothing more precious to a living soul to be brought to this place, Gethsemane, the judgment hall, and Calvary. Tarry ye here. And watch with me. Now, this morning we were considering the events which were taking place here in the Garden of Gethsemane. We were considering the prayer of Jesus here in the following verse, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And as I reminded you this morning, and I make no apology for repeating it this evening, the fact that the cup did not pass from the Saviour without him drinking it right up, it's the declaration from God's throne in heaven itself that there is no other way of salvation but through the precious sufferings and through the life of Jesus Christ. Had it been possible that we could have been saved any other way, Jesus would have been spared that cross. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame that rebels might adore his name. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now, of course, it may be asked why Peter and the two sons of Zebedee were the ones that this word was given, and the other disciples had been left at the gate. Well, this is the divine sovereignty of God. Some are permitted to have deeper and clearer views of the sufferings of Christ and of their place in those sufferings and others. But all of these 11 disciples, whether they were near or far, had an interest in these sufferings. They all had a place there. They all had an equal place on the heart of the Saviour. And it is not for any one of us to despise any other who may not have been led as deeply or as clearly into things as you may have been. But to tarry here and watch, watch with me. As we said this morning, you're not watching alone. It's always with Christ. However dark the pathway, however perplexing the concern, however distressing the way for a believer, it is always with Christ. He watches with you. He cares about you. That is a difference between the sufferings of the people of God and the sufferings of the world. They have the same sufferings, but they have to suffer alone. Thank God if you have not had to suffer alone. But tarry here and watch with me. This word watch, it means be on the alert. It means be vigilant. Be aware. Be aware that Satan is as a roaring lion with malicious designs and intents, seeking to catch you out and to cause you to fall. And if it were possible to destroy you, be aware. Be watchful. Tarry ye here and watch with me. It is natural, isn't it, when we come into a path of difficulty or a path of trial and tribulation, our first concern is to get out of it. Perhaps, friends, our first prayer should be, Lord, what art thou teaching me in it? Perhaps our prayer should be, Lord, do not let me come out of this as I went in. Let it be made a blessing to me. Make thyself more precious to me in this trial than I was before. And remember, friends, he only calls you to watch 1 hour, not two. He watched a whole lifetime for you. And he's still watching over you from heaven. But tarry ye here and watch with me. We were considering this morning, as we came to the close, weren't we, that mysterious sweat of blood. View him prostrate in the garden, said the hymn writer. On the ground your Maker lies. That is where, child of God, your sin has brought the Saviour to. Down to the very ground, the dust of the earth. We read in one of the other Gospels that an angel appeared from heaven strengthening him. This is how weak the Saviour had come to, that he needed in his holy humanity, not in his Godhead. His Godhead never needed to be strengthened. But in his holy humanity, he was so weakened because of his people's sins that it needed a created being which he himself had created, now to be dispatched from heaven to strengthen him. tarry ye here and watch with me. What distress, what anguish, what sorrow must have pressed him to the ground in that garden? What burdens were your burdens there? Tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch. As his disciples sleep for sorrow, they can't watch, can they? They fall asleep. There was no rest for the Saviour, but they sleep. And that was a grief to the Saviour. How alone he must have felt. And how he too must have longed for rest. You know, beloved friends, those in hell this night, they long for rest. But they will never find it. They long for peace, but it will never come. Tarry ye here. Watch with me. Watch. As approaching this garden comes a band of armed soldiers led by that traitor Judas Iscariot. How he betrayed the Saviour with a kiss, supposed to be a seal of affection and friendship and love. And yet that is a signal he used to signify who the Saviour was. This is part of the Lord's sorrow. That one of his own disciples should lead his enemies right to him. And be a part in his being taken by wicked hands. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch. As Simon Peter draws that sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant, and the Saviour kindly heals it, and yet they still take him. You would have thought that would have been enough for them to resist, but no, they still take him. And although Peter didn't realize it, he was being used by Satan. This was part of Satan's temptation to try and persuade the Lord Jesus not to go to that cross, to try and get the Savior to disobey his Father. He said to Peter that the Lord could have given him more than 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000. That tells us there were more than 72,000 unfallen angels. And just like that, the Father could have sent all those angels down to protect the Saviour. And no doubt the devil tried to get the Lord to ask for them, but he didn't. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And again, as we alluded to this morning, One of the reasons that the Saviour willingly took this cup was because he loved his Father, and it was his Father's will, and he trusted his Father, and he knew his Father would not ask him to take an unnecessary cup. May we be helped this evening to view our cup in that light. Can you view it as coming from a Father's hand? Then trust him. He's got that cup in his hand, not Satan. Remember that. He's in control, not Satan. And he can overrule even when Satan is working for your good, as well as for his glory. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And of course, we need two things to watch, don't we? Life and sight. It's impossible without those two things for us to do anything. Ask the Lord to give you this evening the eye of faith. To see a crucified Saviour on the wings of faith uprising. Jesus crucified I see, while his love my soul surprising cries, I suffered all for thee. And if he says that to you tonight, what more can he say to you? There's heaven in that word. There's redeeming love in that word. There is eternal faithfulness in that word. God never breaks his word, and he never retracts it either. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And how it must have grieved the Saviour that these armed men came to him as if he was somehow a threat to them, as if his conduct in the past had given any indication that he may harm them. To think that they might need swords to protect them from him. Tarry ye here and watch. And yet we see his divine power in that they, all of them, fell back to the ground when he revealed himself to them as I am he, demonstrating that he had the power, if it was his will, to vanquish them in a moment and go his way. And showing that he went voluntarily with them. Their swords had no power over him. Child of God, he went that way, not just as out of loving obedience to his Father, but out of love to you, because he knew you needed him to go that way. What you've cost him. Just consider that this evening, what we have cost the Saviour. Tarry ye here and watch with me. All the disciples forsook him and fled and left him alone when they'd all promised to stand by him. And he is taken by wicked hands and conveyed to the house of the high priest. Tarry ye here and watch with me as he has to undergo that mockery of a trial. scorned, ridiculed, despised, hated, condemned to death. As we said this morning, by those very priests who of all people should have proclaimed him to the common people as the Lamb of God. The very person who was in that office of the high priest, the office ordained by God, is the one who condemns the Saviour to death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Then we have the betrayal of Peter, the denying of Peter, rather, as he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. And again, although the Lord knew what was going to happen, that did not make the event when it happened any less grieving to the Saviour. To see his disciple brought so low by Satan out of fear. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And also, the Saviour knew, as he heard Peter's oaths and cursing and lying and swearing, and in a very short time, he would bear the almighty anger of God against that very sin. And his path would be darker because Peter had committed that sin. Child of God, a sight of Calvary above all should make us sick of sin. Did Jesus suffer for you? For you to carelessly and indifferently and hardenedly live in sin? No, he did not. Let us then ask God to often bring us here to this point, to view a crucified Saviour, and may that sight restrain us when we are tempted to sin. May his love for us, who have a hope in his mercy, constrain us out of love to him to forego what Satan tempts us to do. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The Lord Jesus is taken to Pilate. And we have those profound words. Jesus stood before the governor. Isn't that amazing? To think that he who created the world, he to whom Pilate himself, and of course the high priest before that, owed their very existence to, that God of providence who had supplied their needs even that day, that the Lord of life and glory, he who would one day judge the world, and one day Pilate will stand before him, he stands before the governor to be judged. and he willingly allows himself to be judged. And how he remains silent. If you read through all the accounts, the various examinations that were taken, the only time he opened his mouth was to defend his Godhead. All other times he was silent. Fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 53. He is taken as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. But beloved friends, there's another reason why he is silent. As he stands before the governor, he also is standing before a higher court as a substitute of his people. And the charge in that court is every single sin which his people had committed right down from Adam's day to the end of time. Every bitter word. Every wrong deed. Every unkind word ever spoken. Every unclean word ever spoken. Every untruthful word ever spoken. Every unnecessary word ever spoken by his people. Every wrong deed committed, every wrong thought, every wrong motive. Here is the charge. Why is the Saviour silent? Because the charge is true. His people have committed what they are charged with. And the Saviour will not deny it, and he will not defend it, because there is never any defence for sin. And in the day of judgment, every lost soul who will perish in hell as they come to stand before the throne, they will be speechless. There is no excuse, and the judge will not entertain hearing any excuse. That is why the Saviour is silent. Because the charge is true and because it is cannot be defended. But believer, he was silent because he had a love for you. And even at that moment, he was not ashamed to call you brethren. He would not disassociate himself from you. But willingly, lovingly, he allowed himself to be condemned to death. For those sins. That's why he goes to the cross. Had we not sinned, there would never have been any need for that cross, and he would never have gone to that cross. He suffers for his people's sake. As a line of a hymn says, when I stood condemned to death, he took my place. There you see love, beloved friends. The sinless one willing to take the place of the sinner who had sinned against him and bear the punishment instead. Was ever love like this? Here we see something of the greatness, the depth of redeeming love, of the free grace of God. You may have grace, believer. The price of it is the blood and the sufferings of the Saviour. Never forget that. Never forget what you owe the Saviour. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Then we have the Saviour having to go through the indignity and the sorrow of having a murderer preferred before him. Barabbas, the one who had committed murder, is released instead of Jesus. A hardened criminal, crucifixion was only reserved for the worst of crimes. They weren't petty thieves. Crucifixion was only reserved for murder or for treason, not for anything else. And so these men who were condemned to death were hardened sinners. And in leading Jesus out in the company of those two men, they were giving him the biggest insult, as they thought. Here they thought is the King of the Jews, dying with the worst of men. Of course, it was overruled, wasn't it? Wonderfully so in that case of that thief to whom the love of Christ came to. But, beloved friends, it was by those who decreed that Jesus should die in such company, it was intended to be an insult to him. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then what about the crown of thorns? And these thorns were several inches thick. And thorns were the fruit of the curse, the fruit of sin. They were not created in creation week. There were no thorns in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. But part of the curse and the punishment that God decreed that day when Adam fell was that because the ground was cursed, it would bring forth thorns and briars. The very fruit, the very symbol of sin, the very evidence of God's anger at what had taken place and is still taking place, the fact that we still have thorns is a continual witness from God that he is angry with sin. That crown of thorns that we deserved is placed on the head of the sinless one. He who deserved a crown of glory This is what man gives him, a crown of thorns, a crown of the curse. Tarry ye here, watch with me. The spitting, the ridicule, the smiting of his face. That literal pain and that mental pain, I suppose we can call it, inflicted on him through the taunting and through the mockery of others, which he felt in his soul. Tower ye here and watch with me. Believer, this is where your sin has brought your Saviour. Do you now begin to see just what an awful thing sin is to Almighty God? If it took no less than this for us to be reconciled with God, for us to be forgiven, tower ye here and watch with me, learn the awfulness of sin. You see it most here at Calvary, in what it did to the Saviour. As the hymn writer says, see the suffering Son of God, panting, groaning, sweating blood. Brethren, this had never been, had not God detested sin. Sin is not a little thing. There is no such thing as a little sin, only big sins and bigger sins. It is an offence to God, because all sin is an insult to him. It is rebellion against him. It is idolatry. It is placing something in the place that God should be. It is declaring God a liar. Because if we really believed with all our heart that God would do to us if we sinned what he says he would do, we wouldn't do it. Sin is a fruit of unbelief. And the fact we sin shows just how much unbelief there is in us. Learn this lesson. God detests sin with all his heart. And he detests the sins of the believer with all his heart just as much as the sins of the lost. Though he receives sinners, he never ever received their sins. He never accepted them. He never excused them. He condemns them exactly the same as the sins of those who will perish in hell. Tarry ye here and watch with me. We must hasten. He is scourged. I understand that event took a quarter of an hour, and it wasn't unusual for those who are condemned in this way to die under the scourging before they ever got to that place of crucifixion. The fountain of his precious blood shed for sin. And then the road to Calvary. We don't often speak of the road to Calvary, do we? But the Lord had to travel that road. in weakness and suffering. No doubt he had to endure the perhaps the taunting of the crowd as he went his way. Perhaps some were just curious, others were indifferent, going about their daily business. Every step nearer, one step nearer to that place where he would endure the greatest of all sufferings, the anger of his father. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then, beloved friends, there is a precious point here on this road to Calvary before we come to the place of Calvary itself. We read that our Saviour was led out from Jerusalem to that place of crucifixion. And in our language, we read that there were two thieves led out with him. It's the same word. If you go into the original Greek, they are two different words. First of all, the Saviour led. What does it mean? It literally means lead. Like a sheep is being led by the shepherd. Or like a lamb is following its mother. And the emphasis on that word is it's willing. And it is going voluntarily. Our Saviour went willingly every step of that road to Calvary. Even though, no doubt, every step he took, his way got darker and rougher as he considered what was about to take place. But then if you consider the thieves, that word led, it's a completely different word. And what it really means is dragged. They were forced to go. They did not want to go. They resisted. I wonder if it had an effect on anyone that day who watched that scene. The difference between these two hardened criminals being dragged to Calvary and the Saviour willingly walking there. And again, believer, he walked that road in love, taking your place. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What a Saviour. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then let us come to that cross. They pierced his hands and his feet. And we read in that psalm something of the inner conflict that went through his mind upon that cross. Tarry ye here. His first words on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What words of love, what words of compassion, what words of grace. And then, let's consider just for a moment that dying thief. You know, we're told at first he joined in the insults and the railing. In that mob, as they surrounded that cross and hurled the insults at him. If he be Christ, let him come down from the cross. There again, Satan is using man to try and tempt the Saviour to disobey his father. But you know, when that thief joined in with the other thief and the rest of them, the Saviour never answered him a word. He was silent. But immediately he cried, "Lord, remember me." The Saviour answered him, "Today wilt thou be with me in paradise." The Saviour loved that man, even when he was insulting him, even when he was as far off from him as he could be. He knew that verse of that hymn, and do you know it? If you know the grace of God and the leading of the Spirit of God, you will know it. "I did not love thee, so blind and unfeeling. Covenant promises fell not to me. Then without warning, desire or deserving, I found my treasure, my pleasure in thee." And why was there that change? Because, believer, your Saviour loved you just as much as he loved that thief, and he would not lose you. And so that word went forth, "Almighty love arrests that man." All because of the sufferings of the Saviour. But now, finally, as we come to the close this evening, I want, with the Lord's help, briefly to consider that word, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Tarry ye here and watch with me. The Saviour came to that point upon that cross, as he bears the almighty anger of God. And he spoke those words, as I understand, just as the darkness which had covered the earth for 3 hours had come to its conclusion. And that was a darkness that could be felt. There was never a darkness like that before or since this world began. And in those hours on that cross, the Saviour, hidden from all eyes, suffers alone. We read in Psalm 22, "I cry unto thee, but thou hearest not. But thou art holy." He justified his Father. And even upon that cross, friends, he loved his Father just as much in those hours as he ever had. And that was part of the intense suffering. He could not bear the fact that one who he loved so much was angry with him. Was at a distance from him? Was silent to him? He could not bear the fact that there was a distance between them in those hours, and I cannot explain it, friends. But in his holy humanity, the Saviour felt as if his Father had turned his back upon him. That is what hell is. God turns his back upon the wicked. And it does not matter how earnestly they cry, or how long they cry for deliverance, they will never be heard. That's what it really means to be forsaken. Prayer is not heard. And in those hours upon that cross, the Saviour endured the anger of God. And it was to the exact same degree as it would have been had you and I, if we are favoured to be among this number, who the Saviour paid this price for. The Father did not deal more gently with his Son, because he was his Son, and because he had not sinned those sins. He dealt with him in exactly the same way, to exactly the same degree. No more, but no less. In the garden of Gethsemane, and in those first moments on that cross, he addressed his Father as Father. But now he addresses him as my God. Because all the comforts of knowing him as his Father had been withdrawn. My God. My God, why? 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 Because the sovereignty and the justice of God demands it is so. Why? Because there is no other way of salvation. Why? Because, believer, you have sinned. Why? Because the Father loves you, believer, with an everlasting love. Because the Saviour loves you with an everlasting love, and because the Holy Spirit loves you with an everlasting love. That's why. Your punishment was diverted to him. Why? Because the Father and the Son had entered into that great covenant before the world began, that's why. And the terms of that covenant demanded this cost. Why? Why? He felt forsaken of his Father, believer, that you might never be forsaken. Coming sinner, he was forsaken of his Father, so that as you come in sweet and precious faith, you may find mercy, you may find forgiveness, you may find peace. He did not know a moment's peace on that cross, that you may find eternal peace in heaven and know something of it here on earth. He knew nothing of the mercy of his Father, that God may show mercy on you as you come to him and seek for it. He knew nothing of the enjoyment and comfort of the love of his Father, that his Father may bestow upon you that love. Never forget the cost of your pardon. Never forget the cost of one encouragement. Never forget the cost of one promise given. Never forget the cost of the grace of God given to you. It came at so great a cost, the price, the heart's blood of the Saviour. He sighed. He groaned. He sweat. He cried. Through awful floods he passed and died. Bore all incarnate God could bear, with strength enough and none to spare. But believer, the debt has been paid. Forever. It is finished. And again, the original Greek for that word finished, it literally means A debt has been completely paid in full. Child of God, the debt is paid. The victory is won. The work has been accomplished. Salvation has been obtained. We worship a living, risen, triumphant, victorious Saviour. We face a defeated foe in Satan. And remember, the Saviour did not die in the dark. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. All the comfort had been restored. The moment that last sin had been paid for. And because, beloved friend, he died in peace with his Father, you, believer too, will die in peace. That does not necessarily mean that on your deathbed you'll feel to be at peace. God is a sovereign, and some of the Lord's people have been greatly tried in the hour of death. But in heaven, God is as much at peace with you as he is for those who he decrees will die in the full assurance of faith. This is a Saviour we worship and adore. How good is a God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as strong as his power, whose pity will never end. Never forget the debt you owe, child of God, to your Saviour. And may redeeming love be our theme as we go forth from the house of God. And may the love of Christ constrain us to carry whatever cross he calls us to bear, to drink whatever cup he places in our hands, remembering what he bore for us. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £736, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach and to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And God willing, there will also be another prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Our friends at Fen Stanton hope to hold their anniversary services on Saturday. And the collections today are for the Trinitarian Bible Society Auxiliary in this area. And for those friends who were not here this morning, we will not be shaking hands. Let us close with hymn 536. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. Hymn 536.
we leave thy house this night, may we be found under the blood of Jesus Christ and prove that it does cleanse from all sin. May we get a view of a suffering Saviour and then a view of a triumphant Saviour reigning in glory. And have that faith to believe that this same Jesus shall one day return to call us home to heaven. Do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen wrong in our worship this day. Bless thy word unto us. And do now dismiss us with thy richest blessing. Take us under thy safe care and keeping. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, abide with us each now and forever. Amen.